Now, today we're looking at discipleship. I could have used other words. I could have used mind, use your mind, or focus, whatever. But I just wanted to think and to help us to just be encouraged. This is not meant to be a condemnation. And when we read these words, be holy, that's not quite in the Anglican accent, but we sort of think, oh, I can't be. No, I don't want it to be like that at all. I just want us to realise that there are so many things that seem to just squeeze us to be of the world or part of what's going on without remaining true to what we want to be doing as a Christian. So my thinking today is let's just reaffirm where we stand and let's use our brain, because in the Bible, brain and thinking and mindset are very important. Any of you who have been watching the tennis, you would be reminded that often the commentators say, oh, what is he or she thinking at the moment? What is their mindset? They've just lost that set. Now, how do they reprogram to get themselves right to focus for the next set? And I guess what I'm looking at today is let's just make sure that we're programmed with our thinking to be on the right track. And if our thinking's gone off a bit, that we can redirect it. Now, Jesus said this. He said lots of things, of course, but he said this. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? It's a contradiction, isn't it? If he's the Lord, why wouldn't we do what he says or the direction he's given us? But we know that that's not always right. So the assumption is, if we don't do what he says, well, we need to know what he says. So that's important. We need to acknowledge his lordship. That's important. Have we stopped? Yes, I agree with what Jesus says, but have we stopped to think about his instruction? Are we open to obey? And actually, do we do it? So, Lord, Lord, Jesus is Lord. It still sits in my head that some years ago I heard Amanda Vanstone being talked to about her thoughts on religious stuff. And she said, well, my grandmother said, anyone who lives by the Ten Commandments and does the best they can goes to heaven. And I thought, well, I thought, first of all, what arrogance that her grandmother would know better than God. But sometimes as Christians, we think we know better than God because we call him Lord, but we don't necessarily follow his instructions or we don't do what he says. So let's be careful, friends, that we don't fall into that trap. Now, the section of scripture that I read from Peter talked about our mind, it talked about not being conformed, it talked about being holy, and it talked about being ransomed with precious blood. We are countercultural people. Yes. Protestants, to start with, rebelled and said, we are protesters. Yes. Now, are we still protesters? Do we still confront the way the world operates, the way Australia operates, the way Adelaide operates? Do we still confront that with the way we live? Because that's what was said. We are protesting against the standards that were going on. We are not going to be part of what was then the Roman Catholic Church. We are going to live by the word of God. Are we still living by the word of God? Just talking before church about churches and some of the beauty, but also some of the way that Adelaide, known as a city of churches, has actually closed a number of those, and they're opened as restaurants or who knows what. So friends, in our lives, are we protesters? And I don't mean walking around with a banner, but I mean, are we protesters in the sense that the way we live is different to the way other people live because we hear a different voice? We hear the voice of God saying, this is my instruction, these are my guidelines, this is how I'm asking you to live. Now, 2 weeks ago, I spoke about prayer. We're odd. Christians are unusual. We pray. And then last week, Dion spoke about things that are important and urgent, and we're discerning people. You see, we stand differently to start with. We pray and we think about what's important compared with what's urgent. So we are Christians. We follow Jesus. Now, holiness. Now, let's be careful about what holiness means. We don't preserve our holiness by escaping from the world. In fact, Jesus came and jumped right into it. So if we're followers of Jesus, we need to, as it were, jump right into the world. I know there are certain religious groups that have backed out. I won't be tainted by the world. Well, Jesus wasn't tainted by the world. He jumped right into the world. He could have stayed up in heaven and he wouldn't have been tainted by the world. But he came right and he mixed with people who were very much on the outer. So we need to jump right into the world with the message of Jesus, not get out of the world. And then secondly, we don't sacrifice our holiness by conforming to the world. So we're into the world. We're mixing with all sorts of people. We're delighted to be there because we've got the message to change the world. And friends, we need then to be careful that we're not being squeezed to become like the world so that we lose our effectiveness. Those two words, salt and light, are used a lot in Scripture. Salt with a flavour, light showing the light of Jesus. So we need to be careful that we haven't become bland or the light hasn't been put out. So let's be careful. We don't back off. We jump right in. Because where there is need, that's where Christians are, bringing people to Jesus. And the other thing is that we're not contaminated by those people because we have God with us. But we need to be careful. We need to be careful because it's very easy. In fact, I think many people would say the Western world has lost its effectiveness because we've allowed people to come in. Now, on old church notice boards, there used to be a notice that said, all welcome. Well, some people would say that was the downfall of the church because it wasn't really an all-welcome place. The church was meant to be for the separated people of God, and it was meant to be the place where God's people met each week. And then, out! We were sent out. It wasn't a place to bring your friends to be converted. You did the converting out there. You went out into the world, out into your neighbourhood, out into your friendship group, and that's where you shared your faith. It's where you lived your faith. It's where you shared your faith. It's where you prayed for answers to questions. It's where you answered questions. And then when those people were converted, then they came into the church because then they understood what communion was about. Then they understood what baptism was about. Then they understood what it was to be singing songs. But otherwise they didn't understand. And some people would say that was the downfall of the church because people started coming into the church who weren't really on the side of Jesus, as it were. And so they'd say, oh, why doesn't the church do this? Why doesn't the church do that? I'm quite capable of doing this, but I'm not a believer, but I'll help with this. And after a while, some people in the church would say, we started to water things down so much that we've lost our power. So I want to say today, not in a frightening way, but friends, we just need to make sure that as disciples of Jesus, we are disciples of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. We do the things that he says. And we need to be careful about that. Now, still, we need to be joyful. We need to be celebratory. I don't mean we take away fun and enjoyment. But we do need to be in the world and know where we stand. Know what's going on. We're aliens, we're strangers, we're exiles, we're visitors, all sorts of things. But do not be conformed. There it says in verse 13 of the section of 1 Peter that I read, with minds that are alert and fully sober. Think. What does Paul say? Be renewed in your thinking. Don't be transformed by the world, but be transformed by the power of God. That's where our thinking is. It's amazing, isn't it? What goes on in here? The fear that can come, the distortion that can come, the make-believe that can come, the imagination that can come, the evil thoughts that can come. So friends, we need to grab them and we need to say, I want them, God, under your control. I am a follower of Jesus. I'm not a conformist to the world. So, being perfect? No. Being holy? Yes. And that's holiness. In the world, separate from it. Not being tainted by it, using our brain and being transformed. Yes, we need to be open to those things. Now, I've put up here, and we probably could have 1,000, but I've put up there, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we need to know the truth and we need to be set free in our behaviour and in our thinking. We need to know the word of God and be set free by it. And there are 5 things that I would just like to mention. As I say, there could be perhaps 55. But there are 5 things that I think we're in danger as Christians of being pushed around and squeezed and remoulded, whereas we should be moulding. Now, there was a time when we used to say, oh, the church, Australia's a Christian country. Well, I think that's rubbish, really. And maybe it never was. It may have been built on some Christian foundations and thoughts. But friends, we don't need to go back too far to realise that there was a lot of pretend. There was a lot of pretend, and there was a lot of pretend in the church. Everyone looked so respectable on Sunday. Actually, they changed their clothes and wore their Sunday clothes. And everyone came with a big happy smile and a praise God. But that isn't what always happened during the week, in families or in business or in lifestyle. So let's be careful. We are new people. We are changed people. We live a different lifestyle. So the first thing I want to look at for a minute is materialism. And of course there have been groups in the church that have said anything material is sinful. That is, anything that we can see is sinful. Well, we don't believe that. But the challenge for us is to travel light. And I'm a hoarder and an accumulator and all the rest of it. So we need to travel light. Simple, sharing. Things have been entrusted to us. So what do we actually do with what we've got? Do we share it? Do we hang on to it? Is it mine so I'm keeping it? Or what do we do? We need to be careful, don't we? I often say, don't compare yourself with people who have got more. Compare yourself with people who have got less. Compassion, imagine. We got some extra money, so we bought a bit of extra food. Hang on a minute. Most cupboards are full. We'll all go home today for lunch. Most cupboards are full. A bit of extra food. Let's be careful, friends, about that whole thing of materialism. You know, there was a saying around for a little while, the one who dies with the most toys wins. And then the patchwork ladies took it and said, the one who dies with the most material wins. But actually, they both died. That's the thing. Whether you had the toys or whether you had the patchwork material, you still died. So, did you win? Well, you only won if you're a Christian. So, playthings, whether they're toys or patchwork or whatever they might be, we just need to be careful, don't we? We don't need to be careful that we don't accumulate rather than share. So, let's be content with what we have and let's show a contentment that I'm pleased with what I've got. God has provided. I'm still amazed to see people queued up at Tats Lotto. And I'm not sure what they're going to do if they win. Are they going to give it away? Or what's going to happen? Is it going to make people happier? I just ask, you know, if you had another $1 million, would that change your lifestyle? Would it change our lifestyle? Would we give it away? What would we do? So, friends, let's enjoy what God provides. I'm not saying we have to be sort of walking around looking like bedraggled missionaries or eating only one sausage a week. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying let's be careful that we don't go for more and more and more and more and more, because actually we're followers of Jesus who seem to live quite a simple life. The world seems to say, the more you've got. But let me say that's Old Testament thinking. You know, if you had 1,000 cows and 500 sheep and all the rest of it, you were blessed of God in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, it's not what you've got, but who you are. Not what you've got, but who you are. And we're Christians. Hopefully, we are disciples. The second thing, and that fits in, is this word hedonism. And that used to be called just situation ethics. Whatever feels good, do it. And whatever's right for everyone. There was a time when if it's loving, that's okay. If it's loving, do it. The most loving thing. So get involved with relationships. Oh, how could a God of love send people to hell? No, you've got it wrong. God sends everyone to heaven because he loves everyone. This was how it went. And we didn't think of tomorrow. We just thought of today and that was it. So again, we need to be careful. There is an eternity. There is an end point. And we need to be careful of that. So materialism, let's think carefully. Let's think carefully about really where our lines are drawn. Pleasure and indulgence, well, lots of things are pleasurable, but let's be careful that that doesn't become the dominant thing. Yep, we're well aware of pluralism. You see, the thing is, it's not only the challenge to us, but our friends talking to us bring up these things. Why does a God of love send people to hell? We need to have an answer for that. And now we ask this question. don't all roads lead to Rome? Isn't pluralism fine? Isn't every religion acceptable? And suddenly we become very arrogant, don't we? No, because Christianity is the only answer. And people say, oh, you're so arrogant. How can you be so sure? Well, we can only be sure on the words of God. I am the way, said Jesus, the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. There is no other name under heaven by which a person can be saved. We haven't made those words up. And if you want to fight me, we could say to a friend, that's all I'm doing is just sharing what God says. There is no other way. So this is it. But I think more and more in society, what we are hearing is, well, everyone's accepted. And if that's right for you, if you're into the spiritual realm or mindfulness or whatever else that it just takes you into that spiritual awareness, that's fine for you. We need to be careful because we can drift into that area. And some of you would know people who perhaps sat in these pews years ago who have now said, oh, I've left all of that behind and I've now gone on to deeper things. And you say, basically you've left Jesus behind. That's the sad thing. So friends, we need to be aware. The incarnation of Jesus is unique. The atonement for us, the resurrection, those things only in one person. So pluralism is not acceptable. All roads do not lead to God. And we need to emphasise that in the nicest possible way. And then we find some people saying, well, I don't know what I believe. The atheist says, we live in an enclosed world, as it were. So there's nothing outside of that. We can't bring God in. There isn't a spiritual realm as such, or the spiritual realm is in here. So I'm an atheist and I don't believe in God. Well, I'm an agnostic. Maybe there's an opportunity, but I don't know. So I'll just leave it open. No. You've probably got a friend or possibly got a friend like that. Don't believe in God. You can, I don't. Or, maybe I'll leave it open. You know, I can't say there's no God, but I don't want to say there is a God because then I've got a reason. No, well, I'll just leave it open. Again, you see, friends, we need to be careful. We don't just leave it open. We're people who say, no, I know what's true. And the truth is, God has revealed himself in Jesus. So I know that. I'm not going to be squeezed into maybes. I'm sure. And then the very last thing is what I've got down there as narcissism, a self-focus. I don't know that our society is any more self-focused than other societies. I mean, there's always been selfishness and greed and everything like that. But the story and where narcissism comes from is Greek mythology. Some of you would know, a handsome young man who one day saw his reflection in a pond of water and fell in love with his own image so much that he fell into the pond and drowned. And that's the story. That's funny, but isn't it true? If we become so introverted and so self-centred, it's almost as if we die. Because we tend to, it's all about me, and we cut off other situations. It's very, very dangerous. So, humanism says, well, I can look inside myself and I can solve the problem. God doesn't say that. We need to be careful. Self-love and self-focus are a major sickness. People become obsessed with things, and that's the danger. people become obsessed with games and it's all about them doing that. Or any addiction. It just is obsession and me and my satisfaction. And we need to be careful. I was interested as this year when the Australian awards were announced, and whatever you think politically and whatever else, it was interesting that I guess like most years when they're announced, it's all about other people. It's all about the other people. The woman who won, it's about her concern for body image amongst young people, men and women, and how that's destroying them. I think she says 1 million young people are so obsessed with their bodies. 70% of kids in primary school say they are unhappy with something related to their body. And she's saying this leads to all sorts of health issues and all other things. But as well, Young Australian of the Year, Old Australian of the Year, what's their focus? Their focus is on other people. Now, it might have developed from someone being Aboriginal and wanting to develop there. From this woman, it developed certainly from an obsession with body image. But it then led on to them serving the community in other ways. Friends, if you're a person who has a self-focus, be careful. Because the self-focus will very quickly take you away from a God focus. If you have a self-focus, well, be aware that you could perhaps move that, like some of these people have done, into a caring for other people. So, pardon me. Jesus came to serve and not to be served, and that's the challenge to us. And what does Philippians say so beautifully? Let this mind be in you, in me, that was in Christ Jesus. Although he was the Son of God, he didn't cling to that, but came to earth. So, friends, let's be holy as our God is holy, and let's serve him with enjoyment and fun and strength. But let's be careful that there are dangers and things, as it were, working against us to mould us into a mould that is not the mould of Jesus. So let's be careful about materialism. Let's be careful about the things that focus just on us. And let's make sure that we've got our theology right. Jesus is the answer, and to him we'll hang on to. Let's pray together. Father, it's very easy for our thinking to become distorted and damaged. It's very easy for us to be swayed by persuasive thinking of other people. It's very easy for us in some ways to be challenged in our faith and even to perhaps lose it, as some have, because they've just given up or had truth distorted. We come this morning and we thank you. We thank you for the things you've given us to enjoy, but we don't want them to become such an obsession that materialism is the answer to life. We thank you, Father, that there are other ways that people think, but we thank you for the clarity that you've given to our mind to realise that Jesus is the only true way. And we thank you too that you've challenged us to love ourselves and to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. But that's not to distort the love that we have for ourselves, but to take care of ourselves in the way that we would want to care for and love and have compassion on other people. And Lord, help us not to be tainted by the things of society, but help us as we move in society to bring people to know Jesus. for we ask these things, that we might be holy as our God is holy, and that we might model our lives on the life of Jesus, who jumped into the world but wasn't tainted by it. May we be like that, we ask, through him. Amen.